thank you for your grace tonight. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, O God, that you are the Alpha and Omega. And thank you, Lord, the beginning and the end of all things. We thank you, O God, that even when we don't see you in the beginning, you are in the end. We are grateful to you for your blessing, O God. And thank you for the service. Bless us tonight and encourage us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, please be seated. And I want to share with you a very short message tonight. Amen. And it's an interesting message because you're going to find out from this short exhortation tonight that you are a priest. Amen. You are a priest. Hallelujah. So I am sharing with you the title of my message, if I must give it a title, is The Priesthood of a Believer. Amen. The priesthood of a believer, or the priestly ministry of a believer. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing we need to establish is, first of all, that we are priests unto the Lord. Amen. Number one, you are a priest, whether you believe it or not. Now, for those of you who are pastors, it may sound like it goes without saying. Do you see? But not many pastors understand that they are actually priests. Do you see? A pastor, even though it's a biblical word, sounds more like a modern description or title for somebody who does the work of God, preaches to people, and so on. And that's when you think of a pastor, you think more of your relationship with people. You see, because pastor means shepherd, and it describes a caretaker. Do you see? So it brings out the responsibility you have towards other people. Do you understand? So as long as you're called a pastor, you're really referring to the work that you do, you know, for God with his people. Do you see? Yeah, much like if you say babysitter, you're thinking more of what you do for the child, someone who cares for the child. Do you understand? Right. Now, priest is a little different. You see, priest is what you do, not for the people, but what you do in relation to God. Do you see? So, I guess when you're called pastor and referred to as pastor, and called pastor, and all we hear all day is pastor, 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 you know, even our minds are filled more with our responsibilities towards the sheep or the flock. Do you see? Our minds are filled more with what we do for the people of God. Even when you wake up in the morning, you are thinking, what am I supposed to do next? You know, your phone is full of text messages from the flock, or about things to do for the flock, things that benefit for the flock. And if you're not careful, you might actually forget that, first of all, you are a priest. Do you understand? And a priest is not a job so much for the people as it is towards God. Hallelujah. So it's important that we see ourselves as priests. Amen. That all of us are priests. When you become a Christian, you are a priest. Now, the verse, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, makes this very, very clear. The Bible says, but ye are, okay, Chrissy and Freddie, you're welcome. I am sharing about priests, the priesthood of a believer, amen, of a Christian, hallelujah. Priest unto the Lord, if you like, right? And I just made a point that all of us are priests. So that's point number one. You just came. Hallelujah. So you haven't missed anything. Right. So, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 is the book and chapter. And verse 9 is just what I was about to read. So, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation. Do you see? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, you see, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Right. So you would have thought that maybe he's referring to some people. You see, maybe he's talking to some people who have been called to be priests. But the way the verse concludes shows you that he's really talking to anybody who has been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you see it? So it says that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the same people who were called out of darkness into his marvelous light are the same people who are a chosen generation and who are a royal priesthood. That's how you get included. Hallelujah. So you and I are included. As long as we can accept or identify with being called out of darkness, when you read the book of Ephesians, you will see that God certainly has called us all out of darkness. Amen. The Bible says he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, or the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible even refers to us as darkness. It says, but you who were sometimes darkness, you yourself were darkness. Not only were you from the darkness, but you see, when you get to a place where you have to describe a person as darkness, you see, then the thing has, what you're saying is that you are so covered with the thing that you are the thing. You might as well just be the thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So not only are we coming from a place of darkness, but the darkness has so permeated our soul and affected us that we ourselves are described by the Bible as darkness. Hallelujah. But that is the greatness of salvation, because God has called us out of this darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, who is the light of the world. Hallelujah. So we have all been extracted out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Now, with that recognition, you also have to accept that God says he has made you a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. So you are a priest, whether you wear a collar like I do sometimes or not. Hallelujah. It is not the wearing of the collar that makes you a priest. It is the calling of you out of darkness into light that makes you a priest. Amen. So you get to be a priest whether you have been given a collar or not. Hallelujah. God sees you as a priest, and you need to see yourself as such. Say amen. But Revelation chapter 1 is even, or makes it even clearer. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. And if you start to read from verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and unto the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, say he loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own
blood. And has made us what? Kings and what? Priests unto God. And his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Bible says he washed, loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. Then he made us kings and priests. Amen. So not only did he even make us priests, he made us kings as well. Hallelujah. But tonight I'm talking about the priesthood. Amen. So he loved us and washed us. If you accept the love of God, then you have to accept that he also washed us. And if you accept that he loved us and washed us, do you see? Then you have to accept the result of the loving and the washing, which is the making of kings and priests. Hallelujah. Then it says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. So God washed us in his blood because he was making kings and priests out of us. Hallelujah. So I am a priest and you are a priest. If you are washed by the blood, you are a priest. That makes Doreen a priest. Isn't it? That makes Akwesi a priest. Hallelujah. Yeah, you better go find some gowns to wear, Fred. The way you are tall, your gown will really look very nice. To take a whole, maybe you should get some curtains. Make a nice gown for yourself. Hallelujah. But is it not fantastic that God has made us priests? Amen. He made us priests so that we can minister unto him. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, number two. The prayers we offer are incense to the Lord. The prayers we offer are incense to the Lord. That's the work of a priest, is to offer incense to the Lord. And the incense is the prayer. And our prayer is the incense. So Psalms 141:2, the Bible says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, you see, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, so again, you can see that the priest work is towards God. Amen. It's towards God. It's describing something that we do Godward. You see, towards God, in God's direction. Hallelujah. And our prayers, he says, let them be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So that is why it is very, very important when we come to church to get involved and to participate in the lifting up of our hands and to participate in the prayers. Do you see? Because we are actually doing our work as priests. Otherwise, we are non-performing priests. Amen. We are non-performing priests. We are like priests who have gone to the bank. Do you understand? Yeah, or priests who have all bought taxis and are running the taxis in town instead of doing our work. Hallelujah. Our work is to lift up our hands and to lift up prayers before the Lord, which becomes like incense unto him. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Then in Revelation chapter 8 and from verse 3. Let's read from verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers
of the saints ascended up before God out of the angels' hands. Hallelujah. The smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angels' hands. Hallelujah. Now, if you just back up a little bit to chapter 5. Back up a little bit to chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, and when he had taken the book, okay, maybe we can read from verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Hallelujah. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. Full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. Now the odors are supposed to be coming from the burning of the incense. Do you see what I'm saying? So the incense actually is the prayer of the saints. Hallelujah. So you see that the prayers of the saints rise up to God like incense. God loves to smell the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. And the saints, he has told us, are priests. Do you see? The saints are priests. And so when a Christian does not pray, you are like a priest who does not burn your incense. You know, your life does not bring any odor to the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's true you like to visit the members. It's true you like to preach to the members. It's true you like to solve people's problems and complaints. But that's a different thing altogether. It doesn't make you a functioning priest. Do you see? It makes you perhaps into something that is similar to a pastor. Maybe you come close to being a pastor. But it certainly does not turn you into a priest for the Lord. Hallelujah. What makes you a priest for the Lord is the incense that you burn before the Lord. Just you and the Lord. Hallelujah. Making prayers unto the Lord. Being before His presence. Worshipping, you know. Singing your own song unto the Lord. When is the last time that you raised up your own song that was not brought to you by somebody in the church? Do you see what I'm saying? When is the last time you sat before the Lord to sing to Him? Where you are singing your song, your choice, in your time, for as long as you want to sing it unto the Lord. All our singing is given to us by the worship leader. Do you see what I'm saying? And that is if we participate at all. Woe unto the worship leader if he or she does not choose a song you like. Do you understand? But that is fine. If you won't sing the song that the worship leader chose because you didn't choose it, that's fine. But that's the reason why you get to choose your own song. Hallelujah. In your own time before the Lord, you are supposed to raise up a song and lift it up to the Lord. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit inspires or stirs up a song in your heart, you must not cut it off. You understand? Sometimes you need to go find the song and play it and allow the Holy Spirit to finish the work that He has begun in you. Hallelujah. Every Christian is supposed to have these kinds of experiences. It is not normal or insignificant that you would sleep and wake up in the morning sometimes with a song on your heart. Hallelujah. You are a priest, and a priest is supposed to have such experiences because you minister before the Lord. The Lord longs for the odors that come from your prayers and the burning of your incense. God misses them. God looks forward to having them, because when people pray, the Bible says it's like sweet incense and sweet odors that have been released into God's presence. And he goes, You see, he likes them. No wonder prayers attract answers and the favor of God. Do you understand? So we need to do the work of a priest by praying. Amen. And burning our incense before the Lord. Hallelujah. Right. Number three, the priest ministers to the Lord, not for the Lord. The priest ministers to the Lord and not for the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 3, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices." You know, now, when we offer gifts and sacrifices, we offer them to the Lord. We're not offering them. You're not offering them for the Lord. Do you see? Hebrews and no. Let me. Chapter 8. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So, we are supposed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Like I said, a priest's job is towards God more than towards man. Hallelujah. Yeah, a priest's job is, but when you continue to think of yourself as a pastor, you think of yourself more to, in terms of your work that you do towards God's people. Hallelujah. But the truth also is that you can't really look after God's people very well if you don't have a good relationship with Him. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't be a very good babysitter if you never speak to the baby's mother. Do you see what I'm saying? You never know what the baby is allergic to. You never know. The baby will always be freaking out in your hands because you never listen to the mother. The mother would have told you, don't give eggs to this baby because her eyes will itch. You see, but you don't have any such fellowship with the mother. You just assume that a baby is a baby and food is food. So here you go, and then you start to have all kinds of problems. Hallelujah. So it's important that even a pastor, or even in thinking of yourself as a pastor, you must perform your priestly job. And if you do it properly, you become a better minister to God's people. Amen. Right. So the next point is that there is a need for perpetual incense or unceasing prayer to be offered unto the Lord. If our prayers are the incense before the Lord, whose odors He loves to smell, then there is a need to keep it going before the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a need to keep it going before the Lord. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." Hallelujah. Yeah. So you're supposed to do it in the morning. Aaron shall burn their own sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. And he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Amen. Well, the New Testament rendition of this verse is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Never stop it. Think of your prayers as a sweet smelling odor before the Lord. Hallelujah. If you had a perfume that you loved very much, how much would you and how often would you want to smell it? You see, I was listening to a certain man of God the other day, and he was talking about controlling your atmosphere. And he was saying one of the things he does to control his atmosphere is that he carries always a small bottle of his favorite perfume in his hands. He doesn't allow people to determine what he smells. So if you don't bath and you bring your bad smelling body near him, he neutralizes it with, instead of smelling the odor from your body, he just gets out his little perfume and begins to smell it. You know, while he's waiting to fly or waiting to do something, he's not going to put up with your body odor. He's going to smell what he wants to smell. Do you understand? Yeah. The reason why we all have perfume is because we like the way it makes us smell when we use it, isn't it? And when you have a perfume that doesn't smell like you like to smell, you don't use it. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Think of your prayers as a perfume that the Lord loves. Do you see that when you begin to pray, it is like you have released some odor in God's presence, and God loves it, and God likes it. And he says he wants it every morning, and he wants it in the evening. Then he said, I want a perpetual incense before my presence all the time. Hallelujah. So learn to pray all the time. Learn to pray, not just even during the designated prayer time, but learn to have a prayer life, a life of prayer all the time. Pray about everything all the time. Pray about things when they occur to you. Hallelujah. There are some things that you need to sort of take into your prayer closet and pray about them in a certain way. Hallelujah. But a lot of things also can be prayed about on the go. Hallelujah. As you're going and as you're moving, you're praying. As the things occur to you, you are also praying about them because you are a priest. And you are ministering before your Lord all the time. He says he wants a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Hallelujah. Number 5 is interesting because it says a priest sins when he does not offer the incense of prayer. Do you see? A priest sins when he does not offer the incense of prayer. And here, again, I'm not talking about just the pastor, do you see? But we have understood that the priest is the believer, isn't it? Yeah, he made us kings and priests when he washed us in his blood. So a priest sins when he does not offer the incense of prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. The Bible says, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. He said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I'll teach you the good and the right way. Hallelujah. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says pray without ceasing, then praying with season is what becomes sin, isn't it? Praying with season is what becomes sin. You should not cease to pray. Hallelujah. We should not cease to pray. He says it is a sin when a priest does not pray. Wow. So those of us who count our sins only by what we catch ourselves doing, do you understand? As defined sometimes by the society we live in or by our own self-righteous scale of preference. You see, where sin is concerned, we have our own scale. If you do this, it's not so great. But if you do this, it's worse than this. Do you understand? And if you do this one, you are very, very bad. Do you get it? We have a lot of sins that are accruing against us through our prayerlessness. Do you understand? By not praying, you are sinning. The Bible is saying that God forbid that as a priest, I sin if I don't pray for you. Amen. So it is important that we keep our incense burning, because when a priest does not offer the incense of prayer, he is actually living a sinful life. Hallelujah. So he may not go out to chase anybody. He may not steal anything from anybody. He may not kill anybody. But he is very sinful before the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, we're very, very sinful before the Lord because of our prayerlessness. May God deliver us. Amen. Number six, a priest is able to save or cause salvation by intercession. A priest is able to save or cause by salvation by intercession. And Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come to God by him.
To save them to the utmost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Hallelujah. Amen. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. So intercession that is being made on behalf of people leads to their salvation. And this is an example of Christ himself, who is our chief priest. Hallelujah. He is our high priest. The Bible calls him our high priest, who makes intercession for us. And by his intercession, he is able to bring about salvation. Amen. So perhaps if you were to get into intercession, maybe more people will be saved through you. Maybe your family members who are not saved will be saved if you were to take it up as a project. Do you understand? And pray for the salvation of those people. God will save them because somebody was interceding and standing in the gap and praying and helping them and praying for them and breaking through for them. Can I have an amen? So it is very, very important. Salvation, the way it is, people need to be helped spiritually to come to it. Amen. People may even know that they are sinful, but they can't do anything about their sin. You see, I was sharing with a certain man I met yesterday. I was explaining to him that, I was explaining to him the concept of salvation. And I was just sharing with him that God loves us, but our sin keeps us from it. Because sometimes people cannot reconcile the two. They can't reconcile the fact that God loves us with the fact that there is a separation between us and God. Do you see what I'm saying? So I gave him an example that if you have a little child and you went to, the man was wearing a white shirt. I met him on the golf course. He was wearing a white, nice shirt he was wearing. So I said, this is your shirt. You see, as you go home, if you meet your little daughter and she comes running to you with chocolate on her fingers, what are you going to do? Then he said, I'm going to do this. Do you see? Then I said, yeah, that's exactly what God is doing. You like your daughter, don't you? He said, yes. But you don't like what's on her fingers. He said, yes. I said, that's exactly the situation with God. God loves us so much, but he does not love the sin on us. Do you understand? So he will have to turn away from you because of your sin. But the sad thing is that that little child cannot do anything about the sin. It still takes you to get those things off her fingers. Do you understand? So you have to find a way of bringing that child to the sink. If you let that child go to the sink by themselves, they may succeed in getting this thing off, but they will come with a new problem. Do you understand? And then he said, wet, they will be so wet you won't even want to hug them. I said, same thing. Every time man has tried to help himself to overcome his sin, he ends up creating even more problems. Do you see what I'm saying? When human beings try to go to God by themselves, they end up making and creating even more problems. They commit more and even greater sins in an attempt to atone for their own sins. Sometimes people have to murder people and kill people because they want to atone for themselves and for their sins. Hallelujah. And so you see that it takes God. So just as you will have to carry your child to the sink and wash the child's hands, in the same way, you will have to embrace. Only God can make a provision for us and bring us to a place where our sins can be washed through the blood of His only begotten Son. Hallelujah. So that is the work of a priest. A priest must pray and intercede to bring about salvation. Say amen. Amen. Then the last point is that great miracles happen to the priest as he performs his priestly duty. Great miracles happen to the priest as he performs his priestly duty. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. This is a long story about Zacharias. And the Bible says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiel, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, and they had no child. Hallelujah. So you see right there, it's not strange for a priest to have a problem. Do you see? So those of us who get angry at God and say that, if I am a priest, then why do I have this problem? Do you see? These people were priests. The Bible says they were blameless before the Lord, yet they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God, this is what every priest is supposed to do. No matter what is going on in your life, you're supposed to keep the execution of the priest office going. You're supposed, God is still expecting you to do your job, regardless of what you think he has kept or withheld from you. Whether it's a job, whether it is success in an exam, whether it is a marriage, a beloved, or a child, or a promotion, or whatever it is that the Lord, you feel that I've asked the Lord for this one thing and I don't have it. Do you understand? Many priests are missing something. This priest was missing a child. But maybe you are missing something else. Do you understand? Maybe you are missing a visa, or missing a status, or missing a beloved, or missing a job, or whatever it is that you are missing. God is still expecting that you execute the office of a priest, which is the work of burning incense and offering sweet odors in His presence, no matter what is going on in your life. Hallelujah. Can you imagine what it took for this priest to do that? Can you imagine how many baby dedications this priest had been organizing for other people? Sunday after Sunday, his members, like Akwesi and co, would come and line up with their fresh babies with fancy names like Michelle, you know, and other tantalizing names like that. And they'll be naming their children here and there. And every time the priest has to officiate and execute the work of a priest as though he himself has no problem. Meanwhile, he's praying for people's children and he has no child himself. But that is not supposed to stop a priest from doing his job. Hallelujah. So let nothing stop you from doing your job. Amen. Amen. Let nothing stop you. Sometimes you come before the Lord and you don't even know what to say. Do you understand? You are confused. Sometimes you are so taken in by whatever difficulty or challenge or unexpected something that has happened. You are not exactly sure how to construct your words before the Lord. But come before His presence anyway and do what you can. The Bible says even before we call, He hears us. The Bible says God does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. That means a man does not hear anything unless he sees your lips moving. But the Bible says God sees the heart. That means God does not need your lips to move to hear what you are saying. He can see straight into your heart and He knows what is there. He knows. The Bible says God weighs the hearts. That must be the reason why there's an expression like heavy heart in the Bible. Because God weighs the heart. So He knows which heart is heavy. He knows what is making it heavy. He knows exactly how you feel deep inside you and knows exactly what is making or accounting for the look on your face. And before you speak, He knows. And the Bible says even while you are speaking, He begins to answer. You see what I'm saying? You are not done speaking. Many years ago, we used to have, when I was in university, we used to have a doctor who, when you go to see him, as soon as you enter the room, he starts to write your prescription. And while you are talking, your prescription has been written. By the time you finish saying what is wrong with you, your prescription is ready. You get it? He was so experienced that he knew what problems the students had, especially when it was around exams time. Hallelujah. So he will start writing the prescription. Once you just begin your sentence, your prescription is already ready. Hallelujah. God knows exactly what He will do. Amen. And this guy, he was still working. According to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense. Can you see? According to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. So you never know. As you keep executing the priest's office, in spite of what is happening in your life, you never know. One day, the angel of the Lord or the messenger of God is going to appear with nothing less than your solution. Hallelujah. Now that day looks like any other day. That day doesn't wear any labels, doesn't wear any special labels, doesn't give any special notice. That is the reason why you can't afford to stop. You can't afford to stop because you don't know how close you are to the solution. You don't know how close you are to a miracle. You don't know how close you are to God's intervention. Can you imagine if on this particular day, this fellow decided, I won't go to church. I'm not going to church today. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of serving the Lord without answers. You are giving up at the wrong time because today of all days is the day that you must be in church. No matter how frustrated you are, no matter how tired you are, God knows it. The reason why you must go to church on the day you are giving up is because the Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So if you think you are at the breaking point, then chances are you are actually close to your miracle. If you really think you can't take it anymore, probably you are right. But what it also means is that God is not going to keep it on you any longer. That is the reason why you must not give up. And to keep, you must keep and continue believing God and continue praying and continue doing the work of a priest, executing your office no matter what is going on in your life. Hallelujah. As he was doing the work, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. The angel of the Lord was standing at the right side of where the incense was being offered is where the angel came. So it means the appearance of the angel had something to do with the offering of the incense. Do you see? And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard.
Wow. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Hallelujah. So can you imagine so much? Didn't you say God has forgotten you? I mean, when an angel appears with this long a message from the Lord for you, you know that God has not forgotten you. Hallelujah. You thought God had forgotten you, but God had not forgotten him at all. Hallelujah. So keep your incense burning. Keep your incense burning. Continue to pray and continue to have faith and continue to go on and on and on in what we believe, because in due season we shall reap if we don't faint, the scripture says. Hallelujah. So I just want to end my message here tonight. Amen. And I hope you're encouraged to continue and to rise up and burn your incense. Hallelujah. Send your orders to the Lord. God likes them. He likes your odors. He likes the flavors. Hallelujah. And he likes the different odors that come through your prayers. And he wants it in the morning and he wants it in the evening. Then he says, I want a perpetual thing before me. Pray without season. Don't stop. Every time is a good time for prayer. Every place is a good place for prayer. Hallelujah. And everything and every matter is a good matter to pray about. Hallelujah. Form a habit of praying to the Lord, even about little things. Anything that concerns you, pray about it. Hallelujah. Pray about your job. Pray about your health. Pray about your finances. Pray about your landlord. Pray about all the difficult people in your life. Pray about anything that concerns you. Because the Bible says that God cares enough about us to count the hairs on our head. Hallelujah. God is into detail. Amen. God is into detail and has all the details on you. And you shouldn't hurt yourself by keeping him out of the discussion about you. Bring it up to him, and I believe that he will answer and he will hear and bless. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Bring the service to a close tonight. Amen. Amen. Right. So bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for making us kings and priests unto yourself. How often we have shirked our responsibility as priests and have focused on other things. Sometimes we've even been guilty of being so consumed with our work as pastors to the neglect of our work as priests. Sometimes the people have come first instead of you. When we should have been attending to you, we have attended to the flock. Sometimes we have gone to the people when we should be running to you. But we pray that as priests, you help us order our priorities. We help us, O God, restore order in our lives, to put you where you belong and to put our roles in order as they should be arranged. Help us, O God, to be faithful priests. Help us, O God, to be priests who offer the sacrifices in the morning and in the evening. Help us to be priests who keep a perpetual flame before you, burning incense all the time before you.
Help us to be priests who continue to work no matter what is going on in our lives. No matter what we are missing in life, no matter what we wish so badly that we had and still don't have, help us to be priests who executes the office of a priest in spite of what our lives are missing. In the name of Jesus, help us to be priests who have faith and priests who believe in you. Priests who trust that in due season you will come through for us. In the name of Jesus, help us to be faithful priests. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much for tonight, and thank you for the encouragement to burn our incense. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Powerful.